Hi, I'm Kaylee. This is my first Pen Tales, and I'm reading my story. Okay. Growing up, my family moved around a lot. Before I came to New York for college, I had lived in 8 different homes in 3 states. For me, home is not a tangible place. It's not a stack of bricks, a lingering smell, or a comfortable couch. It's the brassy gals in my family gathered around a table eating. I grew up with 2 sisters, raised mainly by my neurotic single mother and cheeky granny. These ladies like to eat. But more than eat, they like to watch us eat. When you're in my house, eating is not an option. It's an expectation. It's their Jewish New Yorker roots that get a sick amount of pleasure in watching me and my sisters chow down. No matter what I look like when I come home for a family holiday or graduation, I get the same worried reaction from my granny. Oy, what are you doing? Starving yourself up there? You want to look like those anorexics. You're doing the drugs and the drinking, and you're not feeding your beautiful body. You don't eat. I do eat. All the time. At least 3 meals a day. But once I'm home, I know I'm about to eat more. They're always like this. Growing up, whenever I had friends over, it was the same food-pushing routine. You want cookies? Let me make you a sandwich. Lasagna? If my sisters and I bring home a new boyfriend, forget about it. If he doesn't empty the kitchen, my mom won't trust him. Whenever I return to New York after seeing my family, I'm always packing a few extra pounds. My jeans are tighter, my face is puffier, and I'm cursing my mother and her goddamn delicious French toast. Because of the way the ladies in my family treat food, I've always thought of eating as something you're obliged to do if offered in somebody else's home. If they want to feed you, you're getting fed. It's a manners thing. It's a method of bonding. It shows appreciation. So last year, when I was working at an orphanage in Kaole, a slum in southeast Nairobi, and Edwin, a volunteer teacher, invited me to his home for lunch, I accepted, knowing it was an honor and that he was providing. He didn't have a lot of money or means, so his offer was a generous gesture. Edwin lives in Soweto, one of the poorer slums of Nairobi. He led me down littered alleys to a hut that he shared with another teacher. The home was smaller than a handicapped bathroom stall. Squeezed inside was a twin bed, a table with a candle that provided all the light for the room, and a stool that I sat on. Edwin cooked us a stew, kneeling over pots on the floor. The aromas from the foods were foreign and unfamiliar. In the dim light, I couldn't make out the ingredients he was throwing in. I considered and asked myself, should I eat this? Then in my head, I heard my granny's bullying answer. What's the matter with you? You're too good to try the stew? You're watching your figure? Live a little. I swallowed my inhibitions and focused on Edwin as he told me about his terribly difficult life and goals for the future. Wide-eyed, I listened to his tale with awe and admiration. We were the same age, but grew up in worlds that couldn't be more different, with homes and families that you could not even begin to compare. Yet there we were, sharing the same tradition of breaking bread and bonding. When he handed me the stew, I knew it was my obligation and honor to eat it. Take more, he happily encouraged when my bowl was empty. Sure, I said, enjoying the meal while ignoring the churning that was beginning in my belly. When I got up to leave, I felt deep levels of sympathy and inspiration, followed by a pounding sickness in my stomach. As he walked me out of the hut, I thanked him for the meal and discussion, then vomited all over his feet. He looked up at me with big dark eyes as I keeled over and covered my mouth. I'm okay, I insisted. Not a problem, totally fine, I said while turning green. He tried to take me towards the orphanage, but I argued that I needed to make it back to my home, my host family's home, to clean up there. I thought I could make it the extra 10-minute walk. I was wrong. In Kaole, the presence of white people is almost non-existent, so whenever one passes, all children begin screaming excitedly and pointing, Mzungu, Mzungu, white person in Swahili, and often run up to touch their hands. I tried to walk fast. A light jog almost, but then it happened. I tried clenching, but it was useless. I bit my lip as my pals released in my jeans in the middle of the street as the town looked on and shouted, Mzungu. I waddled as fast as I could away from the children tracing me in my trail of poop. This was bad. This was horrifying. But things got really disgusting when I finally returned back to the house and realized there was no running water. Water is a scarce resource in Nairobi. It's rations, so some days you have it, some days you don't. This was not my day. I took a Cipro and gave myself a bath in the baby wipes that my grandmother wisely insisted I bring. I tried to picture the day when the situation would be funny. As I bathed in the towelettes, I thought of how cushy and privileged my life was back home. I missed my family. I missed my mom's French toast. I looked forward to being home, to sitting around a table with my family, to stuffing my face and recounting the story of the sunny day in East Africa when I shit my pants.